Welcome to Charis Daily Live Bible Study. Join believers from around the globe to study the Bible with Andrew Womack and instructors from Charis Bible College.
Hello and good morning. I want to welcome you to Charis Daily Live Bible Study. My name is Julianne Harris and I'm an employee of Charis Bible College. So let's get into the announcements. We're so glad that you've tuned in this morning and we want you to interact with us. So how can you interact? Well, whatever forum you are watching on, we want you to go down to the chat section and let us know where you're from. Let's get the conversation started. And then as questions enter into your heart today, as you listen to Barry minister, we want you to type those questions in and then we'll get to as many of those questions the last 10 to 15 minutes of the program that we possibly can. In order for you to interact with us, though, you need to tune in while we're live. So those of you that are new tuning in, let me go over the schedule. So on Mondays and Fridays, we have live Bible study at 10 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays is at 6 p.m. And Wednesday morning, just like this morning, is at 7 a.m. And that is all Mountain Time. So please calculate that out. Tune in while we're live so you can interact with us. Also, we have prayer ministers available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are trained in their authority. They can direct you towards the Word of God. They can direct you towards supplemental teaching if there's something that you're going through that you just want to learn more on. Most of us in our life, if we are failing in any area, it's because there's a lack of knowledge. So I would encourage you, if you're going through something, give them a call right now at 719-635-1111. While you're on the phone with them, I would encourage you to become a partner. You can be a part of this ministry and everything that it's doing simply by giving. And so I would ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner. And if you would like to give, you can go to awmi.net/give or give us a call at 719-635-1111. So those are all my announcements. Now I get to introduce Barry Bennett, who was my favorite instructor at Charis Bible College. And so I know many of you, if you've already heard of Barry or listened to him minister, he is a man of the word. He's amazing. His official title for Charis Bible College is Senior Instructor. So he's power-packed, and so I would encourage you to grab a pen and paper to take notes and sit back and be blessed today, challenged and blessed. So welcome, Barry. We're ready.
Good morning, Julianne.
Good morning.
Are you awake?
Barely. Okay, I got some coffee here, so we're good.
Okay, me too. Praise God. It's good to be here. It's good to be with all of you, and I just want to be an encouragement to you today and want you to be encouraged in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen.
Amen.
And there is so much good for us today. Every day is full of potential, full of choices, full of opportunities to be a blessing, to help people, to bless people. And that's why we're here. We want to bless you in this time of study. So Amen. Praise God. Let's get into the Word and hopefully we'll get something from this and get set free.
Amen.
Praise God. So I want to talk to you this morning about grace for healing. Grace for healing. And I hate to belabor my own testimony, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but just for anyone that's not aware, I went through a cancer issue in 2020, 2021, and learned a lot from that, though it wasn't God that put me through that, but it was every opportunity is an opportunity to learn.
Amen. Amen.
Every issue we go through.
Yes.
And so I did learn a lot of things, and I did discover almost a subculture of Christians that are afraid to share their physical needs or their whatever they're going through with other Christians, perhaps even their pastor. Sometimes they're afraid to share with their family because they are afraid of the guilt and condemnation that is unfortunately often involved in this, is that a lot of faith people put a guilt trip on other faith people if they happen to get sick. And why don't you just believe God? And I can't believe you went to the doctor. And I got some of that in my own journey, some people writing me about that. And, you know, that's not fun. But what I realized is that a lot of us don't have grace for people mm-hmm. who are going through a physical challenge. We tend to judge or we tend to criticize or not step up and love them and help them. But it's more than that. Sometimes I think we have decided that we have to earn our healing because we've been taught so much about healing. We've been taught so much about faith that it has become something that we feel like there are steps, there are principles, that we have to do this, I have to confess that. And it's almost as if we have changed the grace of God into a earning situation. I have to earn my healing. What do I have to do to get healed? And so I want to change, hopefully, the perspective on that and talk about just the idea of grace for you. Amen. There is grace for me for healing, because grace is part of the redemption of Jesus. You cannot earn righteousness. Romans 5:17 says that righteousness is a gift that we receive by believing. We receive the gift of righteousness. I didn't earn righteousness. I didn't have to go through 3 steps or 5 steps or 10 steps to become righteous. I simply believed in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, that God wants me righteous. That's why He sent Jesus. And so I received the gift of righteousness by faith. Yes, it is me agreeing and believing. But in the same way that righteousness is a gift, healing is a gift.
Amen.
And we don't have to earn healing. We don't have to work up our faith. Some people believe that faith is something that we have to generate. I need to believe, I need to believe. And it becomes a human faith. It becomes a human strife, if you will, trying to believe and wondering why it's not happening and that kind of thing. And I guess I want us all to take a collective deep breath and just let it out and relax.
Amen.
And know that healing is a gift. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, it's called the gift of healing. Mm. And a gift is something you can't earn. A gift is something that you receive. All right? And so that's the direction I want to go with you. And I want to start in the Word with you in Titus 2:11 to put a word foundation on this. We'll go to Titus 2:11. And Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And so we have that concept of salvation, but unfortunately we have limited that many times to just the forgiveness of sins. But if you look up the word salvation, it is the word in the Greek soterion, S-O-T-E-R-I-O-N. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it comes from the other, the root word of this is soteria, which is used frequently in the New Testament and refers many times to physical healing. The entire word, what it means, the definition of this salvation word in the Greek is salvation, health, and deliverance. Salvation, health, and deliverance. And so reading that again, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation, health, and deliverance has appeared to all men."
Amen.
Health is a part of the redemption of Christ. He didn't just save your spirit or save your soul. If sin is the root of sickness, and it is, in other words, when Adam and Eve sinned, that independence, that rebellion, unleashed the power of death in all of its many manifestations and all of its many forms. And so we have sin being the root and death the ultimate fruit. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Well, sickness is incipient death, or sickness is death in its first stages. Mm. And so sickness is a part of the manifestation of the sin problem. So if salvation appeared to all men, the grace of God, it says, Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation, well, it's the deliverance from the whole thing.
Amen.
Amen?
Praise
so
God.
Whatever Adam and Eve unleashed in their sin has been dealt with by the grace of God, and that includes your health. So that's good news.
Amen.
It's interesting. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in Mark 2, and I think it's 1-12, Mark 2, 1-12, it's the story of the man on the stretcher, the paralytic.
Yeah.
And the 4 friends carry him to, it's actually the house that Jesus was using in Capernaum. And there's a great crowd. There's people packed inside, people all outside, and they can't get in. And so they decide to go up on the roof, and they carry this man on a stretcher up to the roof, and they begin to take apart the roof during Jesus Bible study. And I'm sure this was thrilling. And as stuff is falling down on him, he sees this hole developing and then a man being lowered down on a stretcher. And it says, and seeing their faith, meaning We don't know what state the man was in, but the four friends are the ones that are demonstrating the faith. Seeing their faith, he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Mm. And I'm thinking, well, that wasn't why he came. Right. You know, in a sense, it's probably a surprising declaration by Jesus, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees, of course, got into a dizzy about that, and they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus said, "What is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your pallet and walk? But to demonstrate to you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins," he turned to the man and said, "Take up your bed and go home." And he was instantly healed. What this is demonstrating to me is that the grace that forgave him made his healing available.
Mm, praise God.
In other words, how many people did Jesus heal in his ministry? In Acts 10:38, it says he healed all who came to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so if he healed all who came to him, what had happened previous to that to make the healing possible? He was forgiving them. Mm. His presence was forgiving. He was there to forgive. And so everyone that got healed, the first step in the healing was to receive the grace of forgiveness. If the grace of forgiveness is active, the grace for healing is present. It's there. It's not two different things. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I needed to understand. I think we all need to understand. If you're forgiven, if the grace for righteousness you have received, then the grace for healing is present for you. It's not something you have to earn. He didn't have to earn healing. Now, who had the faith for his healing? And it appears the four friends were the ones that had the faith. The man, we don't know if he was in faith at all. Perhaps to be let down on a cot through a roof, that took some faith. Amen. But we don't know the state of his faith for healing. He just simply was being assisted by his four friends, and Jesus saw their faith. In the case of the centurion, who had faith for his servant who was paralyzed and probably had suffered an accident? We don't know what state he's in terms of his spiritual condition or faith, or if he had any faith whatsoever. It's the centurion that went to Jesus on behalf of the servant. And there was grace for the servant through the faith of the centurion. Hmm. We don't see the centurion having to believe God and work out faith. We can talk about the Syrophoenician woman that went to Jesus on behalf of her daughter who is demon-possessed. Obviously, her daughter is not in a place of faith if she's in that kind of torment. The woman had faith, and there was grace through the faith of the mother for the daughter. I'm trying to establish something here, that it's not always the afflicted one that has to work up faith. It is the body of Christ that is responsible for those that are sick that are not in a place of having their own faith. There is grace for them, is my point. We can talk about Jairus, who went to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. And in this process, the woman with the issue of blood interrupts the Jesus on his way to Jairus' house. But the thing is, Jesus was going to Jairus' house on behalf of his daughter, who in the process died. And yet there was grace for her through the faith of Jairus.
Yeah.
Amen? And so it's not always when we are sick that we have to generate faith. Sometimes in my own journey, there were days I did not have proactive faith. There were days that I was simply not capable of working it up, if you will. And yet I knew I had people standing in the gap for me.
Amen.
And there was grace for that. And there was one point where I just was disappointed in myself. I'm sorry, God, I can't do it. I can't work it up. Because I felt like I had to work something up to earn my healing.
Yeah.
I think that was a subconscious thing. It wasn't a conscious thing, but it was subconscious that I'm not active enough in my healing. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Barry, you can lie there in bed and I still love you and you're still gonna get healed." And that blessed me so much.
Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, I'm just going to rest in the grace of God. People are praying for me. I know that God loves me, and I'm just going to rest in his grace. And that was such a relief for me to know. And I know I'm talking to people right now
Yes.
that are afflicted and that feel guilty because I don't know what to do. How do I get healed? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I'm trying to impart to you, you just need to rest in His grace. His salvation, grace for salvation, has appeared to all men. It's present. If you've received His grace for righteousness, and even if you haven't, even if you're not born again, the grace for healing has been poured out on the whole earth. Mm-hmm. Jesus told His disciples to go out and heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they would recover whether or not they're born again. In other words, that's how big the love of God is. There is healing for every person on this earth. The grace of God has appeared, bringing forgiveness and healing to all men. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 14:14. Matthew 14:14. It says, "And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now, we don't have a ton of information here, but what we have, we'll work with that. The multitude obviously was at least curious in Jesus. They were following Jesus because I'm sure they had heard how good He was, how loving He was. I don't think multitudes would be following Him or seeking Him if He was mean and if He was having these pre-healing interviews and judging people and saying, "I can't believe you went to the doctor, and why don't you just believe?" And if He was being harsh with people, if He was being judgmental with people, they wouldn't have been following Him in great multitudes. But multitudes were following Him because of His goodness. In other words, Jesus was the grace of God manifested, the goodness of God, the love of God manifested. And this says He saw the multitudes and had compassion. Or in other words, the motivation for healing began with Him, not with them. We don't have stories of their great faith, and I'm not saying that some didn't have faith, but in a multitude, I don't think everybody there was in the same place of faith. They were in a place of seeking the goodness of God or curious about what He's doing. Mm-hmm. It was Jesus that was motivated with compassion. Jesus is the one. He saw the multitudes. He had compassion. The healing began with His love, with His compassion. Mm-hmm. He had compassion on the sick, and He healed them. That's such a powerful story, such a powerful verse, because it, in a sense, takes the pressure off mm-hmm. some of you right now that are dealing with something. Let the compassion of God be the starting point for your faith, if you will, or for your receiving, that there is grace for you.
Amen.
There's compassion for you. God loves you. And I think sometimes we have, and I know that I've been through this, that we have almost choked the grace or stifled the grace of God because we feel like it's on us. I've got to work this up. I've got to believe. I've got to confess. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And at the same time, I have to deal with the guilt trip that people are putting on me. Why aren't you healed? Why did you go to the doctor? Why don't you do this? Why don't you just believe God? And it becomes tough for a lot of sick folks, a lot of sick Christians especially. It becomes tough for them. And they feel like it's all my fault. It's all on me. I'm not doing the right thing. Or they get bitter at God, and they say, "God, don't you care that I'm dying? Don't you care that I'm sick?" And so we go into all of these emotions, and we go into perhaps even bitterness in our heart. We don't want to deal with guilt and self-condemnation, all of this stuff. And my heart for you this morning is to let that go, release it.
Amen.
Just be free from that, and let the grace of God minister to you. He saw the multitudes. He had compassion on their sick, and He healed them. And there is a place for us to have proactive faith, our own faith. The woman with the issue of blood had her own faith. And we teach that, and we emphasize that. I teach that a lot. And that is a good thing to teach, that we can have our own faith for healing. But then we have these other cases where someone was so afflicted that another person or persons went to Jesus on their behalf. And they received the grace for the healing of their friend or their family member. So it wasn't the faith of the afflicted one. It was the faith of someone else. Man, we all need somebody in our lives that will stand in the gap with us and for us. It's so important that we have the people that can stand with us. And I had people that were standing with me in my own situation. And I could rest in that on days when I wasn't proactive. I said, but I know so-and-so is praying for me, and I know they're praying for me, and I know they're praying for me. And I could relax in the grace of their faith. Amen. And then there's people that don't have someone, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a group or a family member or a church or a pastor that is actively participating in faith with them. You have the faith of God, the compassion of Jesus, the grace of God, and you can trust that Jesus is ever living to make intercession for you.
Amen.
Jesus is praying for you. Jesus loves you. The grace of God that brings healing has appeared to you. There is grace for you right now. And I have found that sometimes if we can just rest in the faith of God, that we can just be healed. Many times the impediment to our healing is us, is that we are just so concerned about our own faith and our own guilt and our own what we're going through, and I don't know what to do, and how do I do this? Relax. Just take a deep breath.
Amen.
Rest in the love of God. Trust that God loves you so much, and trust that the healing power of His love is at work in you. And then begin to see yourself healed. I don't know if I'm going to get into that or not, but I'll hold that onto the side right now. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Good question as we turn there. Does Jesus still have compassion for the sick? In Matthew 14:14, Jesus had compassion on the sick.
Yeah.
And so does He still? Is He not the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
Can you see Jesus having compassion on you if you're afflicted? Can you see that right now? Can you believe that, that He has compassion? He's not waiting for you with a stern face. Why don't you just believe? Where's your faith? He's not doing that for you right now. If you're afflicted, He has compassion on you.
Praise God.
And we need to get that into our psyche, into our thinking. That needs to become more pronounced in the way we approach this, rather than putting it all on ourselves or having other people put it all on us. If you're able to be proactive in your faith, praise God. But if you're not, Jesus still has compassion on you. And there is still grace for you. So Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. And this is His commission to the disciples. Raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's great. That's the heart of Jesus for the afflicted, for the sick, for the suffering. He's commissioning the disciples to carry the grace of God to afflicted people. And He says, heal the sick. Freely you have received the faith and the authority to do this, so freely give it. You don't need a pre-healing interview. You don't need to go through all of the why are you sick and what did you do wrong and how have you sinned. Jesus never approached people about why are you sick and you must have sinned. He never said that.
Right.
The only time that I can find that He even mentioned that was after He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. Then after that, they have a conversation and He says, go and sin no more. That's the worst thing. But He didn't make that the reason why I can't heal you because of sin. No, He healed him in spite of his sin. He healed him because of grace. Freely that we have received, freely we give. That's grace.
Amen.
That's the grace of God. That's the compassion of Jesus Christ, is that we don't have to have a structure. We don't have to have hoops for people to jump through. We don't need to have an interview with them first. We don't need to dig down deep and find out, why are you sick? What have you done? No, we need to get into the heart of God and realize the grace of God that brings healing has appeared to all men. And we need to be ministers of that love, of that grace, of that compassion. And rather than making people jump through hoops or judging them or criticizing them, we need to love them.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to meet them where they are. And if someone is going to the doctor or going to the hospital, you need to be there to help them and to encourage them and to pray with them.
Amen.
And if they've chosen to not go with medical assistance, you need to encourage them. We never should be judging people. Excuse my morning voice. My voice is cracking a little bit.
Yeah, good.
But there's grace for me. Yeah?
There is grace for you. Okay. I'm here with you.
But we need to encourage people and not put a guilt trip on them, not judge them. It's just a whole new perspective that I think I have gained in my own journey, is that there's a lot of hurting people out there that don't know where to turn. And if you have no one to turn to, you have God to turn to. You have the love of God, the compassion of Jesus. You have the grace of God for you, and it can heal you. And some of you right now, if you can just relax, excuse me again, if you can just relax and just believe that God loves you that much, and just let the healing love of God take over in your body. And quit being upset, quit being bitter. I know we get questions all the time from people. I've done this and I've done that and I'm not healed. And why is it taking so long? And you can just hear the angst and the commotion in their spirit. Relax. And you say, well, Barry, that's easy for you to say. Well, I've been there, so I'm not just talking from mental knowledge here. I've been through this. And it's when I relaxed and realized, okay, this is a journey. My body is being healed. It is healing. I will come through this. I will. And I began to project my future. I began to project myself and see myself ministering again, doing live Bible studies again, traveling again. And I began to plan for the future because I was receiving the grace for the healing. It might be taking some time. I've had miracle healings and I've had the long process healing, but the grace of God is there for both of them. And if you can just take the pressure off yourself, and I'm not saying don't have faith, I'm just saying don't make it about you earning your healing. No. Let your faith be in the goodness of God. Let your faith be in the grace of God. As it says in Hebrews 11:11, it talks about Sarah, who was unable to conceive, and now she's an elderly woman. Mm-hmm. And it says, and she has a promise from God that she's going to have a child. And it says she judged him faithful.
Amen.
She judged him faithful. If that's all you can do, that's enough. If you can just relax in the sense that, is God faithful? Is there enough grace for you? Does Jesus still have compassion on the sick? And hopefully all your answers to that are yes. Judge him faithful and let the grace of God heal you. You may not need someone to lay hands. If you have that, amen. Praise God. Whatever you have available, if you have people standing with you, amen. But if you feel alone right now, and if you feel like no one cares, and if you feel like you're going to be judged if you tell anybody, then just judge him faithful. Let the compassion of Jesus, which has not died, come to you. Take a deep breath and see yourself getting healed by the love of God.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Amen. People need grace. We all need grace.
Yeah.
We're only here by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I think we have unwittingly or unknowingly or not on purpose necessarily, we've taken healing into a direction that makes it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be about believing God and working up the faith and declaring and confessing and all. I'm not putting any of that down because I've done all of that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just need to relax and let the love of God, the grace of God do the work and trust in his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I want to share two more scriptures with you and then we'll go to some questions. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, sin is the root of sickness. If there was no sin in the Garden of Eden, there would be no sickness. And so if where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, we could change the word. Where sickness abounded, grace abounded much more. We see that in the scriptures in Jesus' ministry. He had compassion on the sick and he told the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. So where your affliction is abounding, where your sickness may have you in the hospital right now or in bed right now, where that is abounding, grace abounds much more.
Amen.
There is grace for you. There is grace for you. And get rid of any strife or any bitterness or any upsetness or any confusion and just let all that go. And nobody cares. Nobody's praying for me. Whatever you may be going through, just let all that go. And just trust in his faithfulness that where sickness abounds, there's more than enough grace for you right now. More than enough grace for you right now. And I want to pray for you in just a minute before we do the questions while I'm in this in this spiritual zone. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. But I want to share one more verse. And I hope this is an encouragement to some of you out there that may be going through something. Acts 14:3 says, And this is Paul ministering. It says, therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. What were they preaching? They were preaching grace. He was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Mm. Or in other words, when you preach grace, you get results.
Amen.
And God honors the word of grace. He's not going to honor a word of guilt and condemnation and all of these kinds of things, and or you feeling responsible that it's all up to me, I've got to get myself healed. If you're in a place to be strong in faith, amen. If you have people to stand for you, amen. If you feel all alone right now and you feel like, I don't know what to do, there's grace for you.
Amen.
And as I'm preaching grace, God is honoring the word of his grace. And I'm believing right now that there are people that are receiving healing in their bodies. So can I
Yes,
pray?
Please.
I want to pray for
great.
You.
Amen.
Father, we just come to you on behalf of those right now that are watching or that will watch in the future, that are afflicted, that are suffering, that are perhaps confused. And Lord, I want to pray and agree with them now that there is grace for them.
Amen.
And Father, we freely give what you have freely given. We give encouragement, we give love, we give compassion. We give the grace of God that brings healing. And I pray for every physical infirmity, for every person with a physical infirmity right now, that they would receive the grace of God, that they would judge you faithful, trust you,
Amen.
And receive in their bodies now the healing power of God's love, the healing power of your compassion, the healing power of your grace. And Father, we just declare cancers dying now,
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Kidneys returning to normal function
yes.
now. In Jesus' name, livers reviving and restoring now, hearts being cleansed and strengthened now, lungs being opened right now, digestive systems being cleansed and healed right now, every tumor, every negative thing, every blood disease, anything in the brain, any nerve disease, all of these afflictions that were taken on the cross. We speak grace,
Amen.
Grace to you
yes.
in Jesus' name. The power of God's love bringing health and healing. And I pray, Father, that these that are watching would receive their healing by faith. They would just, and I'm talking about the faith that just trusts in your goodness.
Amen.
We believe we receive right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
So praise the Lord. So you guys are sending in a lot of amazing questions. So let's get to as many as we possibly can. I feel like though, Galatians 2:21 talks about frustrating the grace of God. And I think sometimes when we find ourselves in a place of frustration of like, God, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. You're actually frustrating the grace of God because it talks about if righteousness would have came by the law, then Jesus is dead. Jesus' death is basically
irrelevant, yeah.
Irrelevant, right? And it's the same with healing. That's what the Lord was speaking to me. So some of you guys, if you're frustrated, just rest in his grace like you're saying.
Amen.
Man, that's powerful. Okay, so let's get to these wonderful questions. So Owika on YouTube says, can we stand on behalf of a friend who is battling with an addiction and believe God for their healing? So would you connect healing? There was another question about this as well. Would you connect healing and addiction? Is it the same grace that,
well,
that you
certainly,
could stand
yeah,
on behalf?
Absolutely. There's certainly something that needs to take place in the heart of this person to be set free from addictive behavior. And yes, we can believe for them and we can love them and we can sow the word of God toward them as much as they're willing to accept and receive. Still, it's going to have to be a decision on their part to receive the grace of God, to receive the love of God. As you mentioned, people can frustrate the grace of God and resist it, but that's going to be their choice. But our choice is to freely give.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, so where's the question at there? Moving stuff around on me. There it is. Guest on email. He says, I'm watching Barry Bennett speaking this morning on grace for healing. My question is, how do I believe or pray for my grandson's healing? He is only 3 years old, so he cannot believe or pray for himself. So how do I help
him? Well, that's what I just taught.
Yep.
we need to have the compassion of Jesus. You the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So you have the compassion that is necessary. The grace freely you have received, so freely you can give. So once we're convinced of this as the outside friends or ministers, once we're convinced of what has been given to us, then it's easy for it to flow and begin to speak that love, that compassion, that grace to your grandson and begin to see his future healed, delivered, strong. And it's not something that you have to, if God puts a word in your heart, do what God shows you to do. If God puts a word in your heart to rebuke something or to have authority over something, do it. If you don't have that word, then just trust in the grace of God for your grandson and be diligent in that. Love him, bless him, speak words of life over him, and see in with your spiritual eyes, see his future of health.
Amen. Praise God. Jean on YouTube says, how do you then deal with the loved one that dies after much time of caregiving and wanting them well?
Well, wanting something is not quite the same. We all want people to be well. That's a human emotion. I'm talking about the spiritual love of God, the spiritual grace of God. There's a spiritual side to this. Human emotions, yeah, we all want the same thing. We want a happy, prosperous, healthy life. But human emotions come and go. I'm talking about something that's more profound. We need a revelation, excuse me, of the grace of God, the love of God, the compassion of Jesus for people. That is going to be where the power of the Spirit can transmit that to someone's body and see them be healed. And so it's more than just what we want. It's more of what does God want, and can we tune in and bring that love to the afflicted person?
Amen. Praise God. PJ on chat says, is it negative to think about why you may have been afflicted and instead concentrate on God's grace?
If you feel that you perhaps are responsible for your affliction, and there are times when we are responsible, if you're smoking two packs a day for 20 years and you get lung cancer, you know, that may add up there. If you're aware that some of your behavior or your activities or your addictions or even strife in your heart or whatever may be the root of your sickness, then yeah, deal with that. That's probably the Holy Spirit showing you those things. But if the Holy Spirit isn't showing you anything, I would say don't go back and do regression therapy and try to find it. Let the Holy Spirit show you what to do. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in this. And it's not necessarily that you have to discover it, the root, and then go through some kind of deliverance session. I don't see that. The healing came without all of that. Jesus healed people without going back into their past. So I would say if the Lord shows you something, deal with it. If he doesn't, just receive his grace.
Amen. So Will on, it's jumping around on me. Sorry, you guys. Will on chat says, some teaching believes that taking communion brings healing. Is that true?
If you're receiving communion in faith, it's not just the act of eating the bread and drinking the cup religiously. That's not going to do anything. But whatever you do in faith, if you understand the broken body of the Lord and the blood of the Lord, and if that's a revelation to you and you receive that in faith, yes, absolutely, you can be healed in that moment of faith. That's a divine contact with the grace of God when we do that, if you have that revelation. If you're just doing it religiously, then that's not probably going to have the same impact in your life. But yeah, you can receive the elements of the body and the blood by faith, and I've known people that have been instantly healed as they take communion because they were in a place of faith and judging him faithful.
That's awesome. So Jeff on Facebook says, I so agree with you, Barry. Here is my battle. Convincing or revealing to folks I pray for, is there something I should do that I should be doing that will open the door to God's love for them? Prayed for healing for two people again yesterday, and they so struggled receiving Jesus's love. I was certain he was healing both of them, and they both know Jesus. So how can we Help reveal the love.
People that are struggling to receive healing probably first need to be ministered to in the area of forgness. There's a lot of people dealing with their own guilt and condemnation for their past and what they've done. And so it's going to be hard to receive the healing. Let me put it this way, nothing's hard, but it may be complicated for them to receive the healing if they're not receiving the forgiveness. The more we condemn ourselves, the less likely it is that we're going to be able to receive other good things from God. And so we need to receive the forgiveness, and that may be where you need to start with some people. And in other cases, some people have no guilt or condemnation whatsoever, and they receive healing. So I don't want to put this in a box either way. Some people can receive the healing before they understand forgiveness, and some people need to understand forgiveness first.
Amen. Veggie on YouTube says, is it wise to proclaim healing through the cross over someone if they believe that sometimes the disease is from God? How can we pray for people who believe that?
Well, Jesus ran into one of these situations in John chapter 9 where the disciples asked him, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, it's not either one. In other words, we've got to stop the detective work. is it because of sin and did God make them sick? No, God doesn't make anybody sick. What God does is provide healing, grace for all humanity, for all mankind. Amen. And it's not about, read the question again. I lost my train of thought.
They crossed it out. Let me read through the line here. It says, through the cross. How can you pray for someone who believes that that disease is from God?
Well, disease doesn't come from God.
Amen.
Disease comes from Adam's sin. We need to get it really, really clear where all of the suffering and darkness in the world came from. It did not come from God.
Amen.
It comes from Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That was a consequence that they disobeyed and they ate, and death and all of the sicknesses of the world came through that one act. So we need to understand the source. The source is sin. So it's not God made them sick. But I know a lot of religious teaching contradicts that, and they want people to believe God is after them and God is out to make them sick to teach them something. And I never know what they got taught, but we need to get what we believe in order. And understand that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is not the thief. God is the giver of abundant life.
Amen. Can you stand in the gap for someone who believes it's from God?
Yeah, you can, and we should, but we need to pray that their heart would receive the truth. It's again, you're frustrating the grace of God if you believe God made you sick. That's going to be a tough barrier to get through.
Amen. So we have time for another question. So JKH on YouTube says, could you please explain how to believe and stand for healing for someone who is mentally ill, which runs in the family?
All right. When the brain is out of order, the spirit is still good. Everyone has a human spirit, and whether they are born again or not, their spirit can still receive the word of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so we can still speak the word to them. We can still sow the love of God toward them. The spiritual aspect of love, I'm not talking about human emotion, but the love of God, the compassion of Jesus, all of those things, their spirit can still receive. And as their spirit is soaking in this, the words that we are speaking over them, the things we are praying over them, healing can take place for the physical mind of the brain.
Amen. And, you know, I think this revelation is huge when it comes to mental illness. I had a brother that was clinically schizophrenic. And so, you know, coming from that world in the time that we were in, not knowing what we know now, you know, there was a lot of casting out demons and prayer and all this stuff. To where not realizing spirit, soul, and body, that his spirit was born again and speaking life to that spirit and drawing out of it, but then grabbing hold of the thoughts. And I think that is probably the hardest part in a mentally ill situation, is that person doesn't know how to grab hold of their thoughts. And so I would encourage you to help them grab hold of their thoughts, to line up with who they are in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So we're coming down. Oh, we're at an end.
Out of time.
So that was that. That was amazing. And you guys, I know we didn't get to all of your questions. We do a Q&A roundup on next week, Tuesday. And it'll probably be Barry, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe not, probably. So anyways, we just want to encourage you, if you have further questions, if you need further encouragement, don't hesitate to give our prayer ministers a call right now at 719-635-1111. Also, don't forget we have live Bible study tomorrow at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. I believe we'll have Ricky Burge sharing tomorrow evening. And so, Barry, you just have a wonderful day, sir.
You too, Julianne. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for being here. And we were both on time. We were early, in fact. It's good. So have a great day, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Join us every weekday for our daily live stream on Gospel Truth TV.